We have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
Welcome to the program. It's Your Turn, WISR 680 AM. Good afternoon, Tyler Friel and Kayla Molzan in for Dave Malarkey. Dave off today and tomorrow. He will be back at it on Thursday. Until then, we will be keeping the ship afloat, and we've got a nice show lined up for you today. We are going to start with some open talk. 724-283-2525 is that phone number. Coming up later on in the program, we will talk to the new regional director of the Butler office of the United Way of Southwestern PA. They have merged offices, so we'll get an update on what exactly is going on with the United Way, as well as it ties into today. Of course, you had Black Friday. We had a Small Business Saturday. We had a Steeler Sunday. We had Cyber Monday. And now we have a Giving Tuesday. And Kayla will lay that out. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But we'll also talk with Amy about what that all means. We'll talk with business expert Lynn LeGram as we get you ready for the holiday shopping season and how you can turn some of your extra cash into, well, some extra more cash. Is any side hustle that you do, actually a quarter of Americans have a side hustle, and what we mean by that is just another type of business that they do outside of their job. Yeah, to bring in some money. And then we'll talk with Dr. Howard Fillett. He is of the Alzheimer Drug Discovery Foundation, and that's how we will wrap up our show today. But we will begin the program, as I said, with Open Talk. 724-283-2525 is the phone number. I want to start first, Kayla, because we didn't really have a chance to get into it yesterday. The Spirit of Christmas Parade was, of course, over the weekend. I was out of town, so I didn't have an opportunity to partake in the festivities. But you, of course, were on the broadcast for what now? Was this your fourth? Fifth?
I think it was
sixth year on the broadcast?
I think it was fifth or sixth year.
Really?
I'm looking at Pat for confirmation on that. I'm not sure, but it's been a while.
Okay.
And it was another great year.
New location for you.
Yeah. So Armstrong, so we put on the parade, the Butler Radio Network.
And
we should start there. It was a really nice parade. And I was so happy that so many people from the community came down for it. Because it was not the best weather day that we've had by far. I mean, it was really, really rainy and soggy and just kind of one of those yucky days. You didn't want to be outside. And even leading up to the parade, 4:35, it was still coming down pretty hard. All the rainfall and just kind of yucky. But I looked out right before the parade started, and the streets were still lined. And people were still, you know, brought their families and kids and were just having a good time with it. So we want to thank everybody for that, because I know that the people here, you know, work so hard to put on the parade. It just doesn't happen. You know, it does take planning and all that stuff. And then people show up to be in the parade, marching it and all that stuff. So it's good that people came to it. But yeah, Armstrong Cable broadcasts it every year. They tape it and then they air it at a later date, and you can catch that. Actually, just wrapped up. It was on from 11 to 12 on their local channel. It's going to be back on at 8 p.m. tonight, and then again on Thursday and Saturday, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. So if you want to check it. But yeah, it's so cool to work with Armstrong, and Bob Cupp usually did the broadcast with me, and he was out of town doing the Slippery Rock University football game with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we tapped Tracy Morgan for the gig, and we just had a great time, and it was really fun. We have to thank the Chiprian family, because we wanted to try something different this year. We used to broadcast from the courthouse steps, which was a really cool location, but they wanted to try something different. So we went down actually along the parade route on top of Miller's Shoes, which is right on Main Street, obviously, and they had this really cool space upstairs and big windows, and we opened the windows and kind of looked out on the parade route, and I liked it because I felt like I was in it more.
Mm-hmm.
The courthouse, you're a few steps back, but this, you were right there, and you were high up, so it was really cool vantage point. I had a good time.
Very neat. Yeah, I saw some of the photos of the floats, and I caught a little bit of the broadcast video, and there seemed to be some really cool ones. The People's Gas, which won one of the best overall in the commercial category, seemed to be really cool with all the old buildings that they did of Butler, and it was just pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Yeah, the floats are impressive, and it's neat to have a nighttime parade, because that's pretty unique. I don't know where nighttime parades, you know, really, you don't hear of those too often. I know it's the only nighttime parade in the county every year. So you really do rely on the floats with the lights so you can see what's happening. And people do a really good job. There's a different theme every year. This year's theme was Christmas, past, present, and future. So it was interesting to see how people took that and then, you know, use that throughout their float. A lot of businesses take months, like, building their float and figuring out their theme, what they're going to do. So it's really a community effort, and it's a good time. And then afterwards, people stayed and hung out on Main Street. I saw people, you know, frequenting the establishments and the restaurants and getting coffee. And it was just – it was one of those times I feel like – You were proud to be from Butler.
Yeah, there's a bit of a renaissance going downtown, I would say. And actually, we'll talk with some of the folks from Butler downtown tomorrow.
Yes.
And so we'll probably touch on that a little bit. But when you look at all the different restaurants that are there, when you look at all the different establishments where you could get a nice beer, and then some of the landmark locations like at Cummings, like at Natilli's, you have a really nice blend of different businesses that are downtown now. And it gives people a variety of different options. So you can go spend the day in downtown Butler.
I'm anxious to talk to, I believe, Jared Sullivan from Butler Downtown is coming on the show tomorrow. But during the day, it was Small Business Saturday, so we know there was a push to shop local. It seemed crowded on Main Street during the day on Saturday, despite the rainy weather. The businesses looked busy from what I could see. So I'm anxious to hear numbers from him. But after the parade, going into one of the local breweries, it was packed. You couldn't even find a seat. And then we were talking to our waiter, because we ended up eating too. And he said he has just been slammed all day. And that just made me really happy, because it's cool to see people, you know, these people buy these buildings. They put a lot of money in to fix them up, start a business, and for that business to succeed is a good thing.
You previously, the previous day, I know you worked on Friday. Did you end up going out to do any shopping either on Black Friday or Small Business Saturday? And I mean, I know you were quite busy on Saturday.
Yeah,
so
I did.
May have been difficult.
Yeah, I did. I did look in some of the local businesses and picked up a few small items on Saturday. Did I shop on Black Friday? I forget. I don't think I did. No, I don't think I did.
Okay.
I did purchase a few things yesterday for Cyber Monday, and I even saw some local shops really
offering
getting
deals
into it and offering some, which I thought were pretty good deals for Cyber Monday. So in my experience, Cyber Monday, I saw better deals yesterday than on Friday.
I think it's funny anymore that there – I just think a sale is ongoing. I don't really – there are some really good Black Friday deals, but I was at another place, I mean, a few weeks ago, and they were like pre-Black Friday deals.
Yeah,
and I'm
know.
Well, what? Okay, that's fine. I'm perfectly content with this. You know, we'll take the good deal. But I think there's – and I think you hear a lot of experts say the same thing, too. Like, if you didn't get there on Black Friday or didn't get there on Cyber Money – or money – Cyber Monday.
To save some money.
Yeah, Freudian slip. Then you're still okay to do some purchasing late. At least that's how I justify it to myself, again, as the procrastinator that I am. No sense of doing and attacking it early. I hold nothing against those who enjoy the thrill of doing the Black Friday the search. I have an aunt who loves getting all the coupons and loves mapping things out. Yeah, there's a time and place for it. I think what's very difficult is to see the businesses that are opening at like 6 o'clock. You know, to me, that takes away a little bit of the spirit, a little bit of the flair to it, and it harms a bit of the employees that now have to wait. To me, if you're doing it at 11 o'clock midnight, it makes it something special. It's still a bit of a burden on the employees, but at that point, they had the time to spend with their family. Mm-hmm. And for the consumers, you actually get that day of reprieve, and then, okay, now let's go shopping at midnight. To me, there's a little bit more of a...
excitement.
Yeah, excitement, a little bit of mystery to it. So I think Black Friday has kind of lost a bit of its luster. And obviously,
so
with the addition of Cyber Monday into the mix, you know, people can do it from home now.
Right. And I'm anxious to talk to you. As you previewed, we have the director of the United Way from Butler coming on to talk about Giving Tuesday, because that's important too. And I, you know, we've been talking about shopping since Friday and even before that, shopping on Cyber Monday. But you really need to think about giving too. And I know a lot of local organizations are counting on you to still have money left from shopping to help them out throughout next year.
Yeah, so I mean, there are a ton of great charities locally. That includes the United Way. I know in the previous times where we have filled in for Dave around this time of year, we've talked to Toys for Tots, we've talked to Salvation Army, we've talked to just even national nonprofits that are doing a lot of great things that can affect people locally. So there's a ton of great organizations for you to get out if you have the capability to donate your funds. I think that's a great way to do it. It's a good day to kind of sit back. Okay, after the rush of the holidays, you're getting back into a relatively normal swing. And so maybe to take time to look at some nonprofits, it would be a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, and if you can't donate monetarily, you can volunteer your time, which I think is just as important. We are hoping to talk to the Salvation Army. We know their Red Kettle campaign started. You've probably heard the bell ringers. Heard the bell, saw the bell ringers outside stores. But they need people to volunteer. And, you know, sometimes time is in many cases, just as valuable as money. So if you're not able to donate financially, you can give your time.
We are in open talk. 724-283-2525 is our phone number. Tyler Friel, Kayla Molzan with you. And again, it's your line. So if there's anything you want to talk about, feel free to give us a call. Doesn't have to be necessarily what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're trying to spur on the conversation, I suppose.
I do want to hear from people on our next topic. If this has happened to people, you know I've been talking about porch pirates for the last 3 days.
It's been the discussion behind the scenes. Well, I need to talk porch pirates. I said, well, what the heck's a porch pirate?
Right. What is the word? It's, you know, nowadays, we just talked about Cyber Monday, even on Black Friday, people are buying stuff online. Mm-hmm. I think more than ever, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they know that a lot of people are buying online.
Well, this past Monday was a record-setting online shopping.
Okay, so there you go. So after you buy online, you purchase online, you obviously the package has to be shipped to you. Mm-hmm. Most of us, a lot of us, work at some point during a day. So that means you're not home for a good portion. So you have these packages that could be worth a lot of money sitting on your porch. And it's an actual term. It's called porch pirate. It's somebody that comes and steals your packages. And I don't know if that's, I know we've had it in the news before of this happening to people. I don't know if it's happened to anybody else out there. Call us and tell us your story. I know a lot of times it goes unreported. So it might have happened to people. They don't necessarily call police and have them investigate. I think they kind of just either chalk it up as a loss or maybe contact their retailer and explain the situation. But how do you combat it? I mean, it's difficult, right? And I know there are some people saying, well, maybe have it shipped to your work instead of, you know, have it shipped to where you're going to be instead of where you're not going to be. I think that's a little bit of a hassle.
I agree, especially for the rest of the co-workers, colleagues. I'd hate to be the receptionist that has to continue to take Joe Schmo's packages in the back.
Right.
I got another gift.
Yeah. And you know, you can look out for your neighbors and hopefully they do the same for you. But I think going forward, this is going to be a bigger issue, which kind of spurs off into, I know some in bigger cities, and I know Pittsburgh is doing this in some locations, where Amazon will actually do the key thing. Have you heard of that Amazon key, where you like give them access to either into your house, or to me that's a bit much, but maybe a garage or a shed or something like that, where they actually have access, they can open it, drop the package, and then close the door.
If you don't think Amazon will be taking over our lives, and I'll give it about 5 years, I think you're crazy. They're going to have your social security, your house key, they're just going to be dropping things in. They'll be actually pulling a Santa Claus. They'll be dropping things down your chimney via drone, and that's how you get your packages delivered.
Right.
No, I understand why this could be an issue, and you would really just hope that people wouldn't be this much, wouldn't be this bad of people.
I know, greedy.
And they're out there, so this is obviously a precaution that you have to take. Might I suggest moving to the country? Because for someone to drive up very long up the driveway into the backwoods, someone will spot them like, yeah, that's not a normal car there.
Yeah, and that is true. I mean, from what I was looking at, statistics,
it's got to be a lot of in-town people.
It's a lot of in cities, you know, stuff like that. Because let's face it, it's easy to do, you know, in cities or in highly populated areas. I just want to warn people just to be, and I feel like there's so much that you have to worry about these days and scams and all this stuff, but this is one more thing that, you know, you kind of need to pay attention to.
And it's amazing when we're talking about the amount of shipping, like people are like, oh, Amazon's making so much money and blah, 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 blah. If you want to look at how much people are ordering online, look at how much the cardboard box industry has made. If you wanted to invest in something, this is Amateur Business Tips by Tyler. I would say cardboard box industry. The cardboard box industry or cardboard industry is worth more than the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and NBA combined.
Oh my goodness.
If you combine the four major sports, they don't have enough money to buy the cardboard box industry. That's how much people are shipping.
Well, I mean, and it's not just from Amazon, too. I mean, you're buying local, wherever you buy from.
Yeah.
I do feel wasteful, and I know, you know, I think there needs to be a greater push. And I know on this show, we've interviewed people before talking about recycling and how I just feel like there needs to be a bigger push of it. 'Cause some people are really good at it. Some people not so much. Mm-hmm. But with us bringing in, and it's not just the cardboard box, it's the
plastic wrap.
The plastic wrap, even, you know, sometimes the wrapping, not the wrapping paper, but the stuff that moves,
the little
stops
peanuts.
It from moving around in your thing. You just have so much stuff. And it's like, what do you do with it?
Now, do you prefer to do the online or in-store shopping experience?
It just depends.
Okay, if you're shopping for yourself.
It just depends. Okay. I don't know. And I don't even mean that. Like, it just depends what mood I'm in. Or if it's, like, shoes I think are hard to buy for.
I don't understand people who buy shoes online.
Because they all fit so different.
Yeah.
So that's
pants
difficult.
Are the same. When it comes to clothes, I refuse. Yeah. I almost refuse to buy online unless I know the brand and I know what I'm getting. Like, okay, yeah. I got these jeans.
Right, I've had these before.
I know what they are. I know what size to order and all that different things. Outside of that, if I've never met the brand, if I can't try it on, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, but I mean, they are making it pretty easy. A lot of places offer free shipping back, so you can try it on. You know what I mean? If you can't get out or if you want
to, that's a hassle.
I'd rather go to the store than
take it. Well, you could take it up to our friends at Goin Postal. If you need to reship it back, they'll go up there.
You
they'll
could.
Ship it for you. But I just don't like the idea of me having to do the back and forth of the whole thing. I prefer just to do it one time. I'll go to the store.
Yeah.
I'll purchase the things I need to purchase, and then I'll get out. Like, I bought a winter jacket and winter boots earlier this week. Went to the store and got them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like going to the store.
Well, a lot of people do.
I know.
A lot of people do.
I hope people are on my side in this argument. I don't know. But bricks and mortars, I mean, they have their place. Actually, I think you're seeing a resurgence of the small boutique, the small business brick and mortar store, because there are people that want to go out and buy these different little things, and they're difficult to buy online. So people will, and I think that's why you saw a lot of people downtown to just swing this whole thing back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Just those unique gifts. And it's cool that a place like Butler can provide a space for that, and really, you know, Main Street's looking good. It really
is. It is. We're in the open talk portion of It's Your Turn. Tyler Friel, Kayla Molzan, in for Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525 is our phone number. Is your husband a hunter?
He has hunted before. He doesn't go out every year. He didn't go out yesterday. He was working. But I know a lot of people did.
Yeah, I know.
It was actually funny, too, right behind our house, which we live in, you know, a residential area, not out in the woods like you do. He saw a buck.
Oh, really?
He saw a buck right in the back.
Right in the residential area. Isn't that funny?
That's sometimes how it happens, right?
Exactly.
You could go sit in the woods for, you know, 6 hours, not see anything.
Get home and boom, there one is. We're in your open talk. That's what we're doing right now. And we'll go to the phone lines now. Hello, caller. Welcome to It's Your Turn. Go right ahead. Hello. Yep. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. You're on with Tyler and Kayla.
You sound very far away, but we can hear Kayla real well.
Okay.
Well, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. I want to tell you a story about something, ordering something online and having it shipped to me, and I'm going to try to make it a long story short.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a bed, a catalog, Montgomery Ward's.
Mm-hmm.
They still order. You can order out of their catalogs. And the bed was made in China. And so I got the bed, and we put it all together, and a beautiful bed. I love it. 2 months later, the sideboard broke.
Oh.
So the bed was under warranty, so I called them back, and it took me 3 months to finally get the other piece for the bed back. But instead of sending just that part, they sent a whole new bed, and then I had to send it all back, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was a bit of an inconvenience to resend the whole bed back.
Did that make any sense? China.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and the thing was, they said on the phone, it was a brown fabric, okay, on the bed, and they said they didn't have that color anymore, so you'll get a black leather one. That's all I had left to pick, and I didn't want it, but I, you know, okay, I'll take the. So I had to tear my. The thing was, you have to tear your bed apart, put it all back, in the boxes they sent, because the original boxes, I got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to take all the bed out of the box and then put it all in. Well, when we started to open up the headboard, which is a bigger box, it was the same kind of bed I had. Thank goodness. So I found a box. I found a box that had the side piece in it that I needed, it, and it was made different than the original one as far as how they put it together. We got it out. I didn't open any of the other boxes. I called them back, and I don't know, 2 weeks later, UPS picked it up and took it back, and he just looked at me like, I said, it wasn't my idea. It was theirs. I said, they sent a whole new bed, and turned out it was the same bed, and 3 years later, it's still holding up, and my bed.
Good.
But I do shop online for furniture and stuff like that, but I'm like him. I love to go to local stores and see what they have every year for Christmas.
Yeah, there's something, too, going in and seeing it and touching it and feeling it, you know, right in front of your face.
Yes, and like him, you know, I just bought a pair of boots out of a famous catalog, and they do fit nice, and they do, when they send the boots to you, they send the shipping label back with it, so let's say I didn't like them or they don't fit, they use the original box and put the shipping label on and send it right back to them, and the post office picks it up, so to me, it's very convenient. I like, you know, I'm like Kayla, I like some things do shipping online, other times I like to go to the mall.
Yeah,
you
good
know,
mix.
I can't wait to get to Clearview Mall and see what their Christmas is.
A lot of people are getting to Clearview Mall this month and next month for sure. Thank you so much for calling in, sharing your story. Take care.
You have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Speaking of the bed, I know that, you know, you can order a mattress online.
It's been a big thing recently.
I know.
There's
like crazy?
There's like about 3 to 4 mattress companies that have really taken an interest in doing just pure online order.
Yeah, and people are like, how does that work? It comes in a box. I've never done it, but I have had friends that did it.
Yeah.
It comes in a box, like all rolled up, and you just like unroll it, and it just comes. Yeah, right?
Yep.
It poofs out.
And again, another item that I prefer to, because I don't, if
because okay, how do you buy something you don't know what it feels like?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd prefer to buy a mattress in store.
Yeah.
You can try out all the different ones. You know, I always say it's like taking a test drive. You wouldn't buy a car online if you never took a test drive for it.
I wouldn't. Some people might. I don't know.
I would prefer to try out my mattress before I got it for a long-term plan. That's my next big purchase. I think I want to get a really nice mattress.
I'm
still using my college mattress.
Mm, yeah.
Do you know we were in a mattress swing? Like, as a society? Have you ever? Okay, let me set this up for you. I know this is a bit off topic, but after I did Coffee with Kate this morning, I'm a little all over the place of designing this program the same way I do that one. So if you were driving down, let's say, 356 near a Walmart area,
okay,
how many mattress stores were there?
A lot.
A ton.
A lot.
There's at least 4 or 5, and there was one store in particular, Mattress Firm. Now, they declared bankruptcy a while back. They had 2 stores, literally, maybe it would take you 2 shots with a golf club to get there.
Yeah, right, yep.
And their philosophy was that Mattress Firm should be like Starbucks, one on every corner, or a Dunkin' Donuts, which I always looked at that business model and went, why? Why would you want to have... To me, a mattress is a destination business. Like,
you're not going there every day.
Bingo. If I'm going out to do something else and I see a coffee shop, okay, I'll stop and I'll get a cup of coffee.
Right.
So I understand the need for that to be a convenience item.
Right, right.
A mattress, I don't understand that to be a convenience item. And sure enough, at least my instincts were right, because they declared bankruptcy. Because they had like 5 stores on one road in these major metropolises.
Yeah, yeah. I know it has been kind of a running joke in Butler Township how many mattress stores there are, because we cover the Butler Township Commissioners meeting.
Yeah.
And they were always coming before the board saying, can you approve this for, you know, a land development plan for another mattress store? And I don't know I swear there was like 6 or 7 in the township.
Well, apparently as a society, and there were weird numbers on this, and I think it's from like the Freakonomics podcast, but America basically goes in 10-year swings of buying mattresses. So we'll buy mattresses once every 10 years, and for some reason it actually lines up fairly close together. And so mattress firms,
like everybody's doing it at the same time.
Everybody's buying mattresses at the same time. It's a weird style, but there was a big mattress boom going on in America. And Mattress Firm thought they would just go buy a bunch of stores and try to flood the market with mattresses so nobody could go anywhere else. Well, it turns out they, you know, you'll price shop a mattress. You won't just go to one mattress store and just buy the mattress. So
That is funny you say that, because how you just mentioned you were sort of in the market. I'm in the market for
a bunch. Yeah, I know.
We were looking at a local store last evening for one.
See? I told you. Freaky. I know, isn't it? We're in a mattress swing as a society. Things are interesting, aren't they? We're in the open talk portion of It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. Don't worry, folks. Dave will be back on Thursday, and the conversation may be more stimulating than our talk of mattresses.
For our last couple minutes, let's talk about NASA, since we're having a fun program here. Did you see, I know that they, somewhere you could watch, obviously they landed something on Mars yesterday, if you haven't been paying attention.
It was called InSight, was the name
InSight,
of the
InSight, okay. But they had a live stream of like inside some of NASA's offices, and they were just so excited. They were doing handshakes, and I want to work for NASA. That was a cool work environment.
Yeah, I would like to work for them as well. Unfortunately
for
me,
I have absolutely no qualifications.
If they need someone to go Mars as touchdown, I think I got it. You know, I can do that part, but outside of any of the scientific work. No, I mean, it's amazing that can actually, that has an opportunity of even happening. It is so beyond my level of thought. The fact that we could send something up into space and it actually land where we want it to land is amazing. I can't have a chip shot land 4 feet away from me on the green, yet we're going to land this thing on Mars. It's quite remarkable to me. We're in the open talk portion of It's Your Turn. Tyler Friel, Kayla Molzan, and in for Dave Malarkey. Hello, caller. Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, you two.
Do you want to go to Mars?
No, thanks. I have enough trouble right here on Earth.
Right.
I kind of got nothing you guys have been talking about today.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
I'm blind, so I use my smartphone a lot. I stream your radio stations a lot to hear a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How come I can listen to the Penguin game and not the Steeler game on streaming?
So there are very bizarre rights and digital rights that the NFL and Major League Baseball will put in place. This will probably happen for pirate games as well.
Right.
That the NFL and Major League Baseball sign deals with their streaming partners kind of at the national level, and that will bar affiliate stations from streaming that. I know, and I can even – that goes for the flagship stations as well. So we're an affiliate station of the Steelers and the Pirates. Their flagship stations in downtown Pittsburgh cannot stream them either. The Penguins, I will give them credit. Them and the NHL, I think, are a little bit more forward-thinking, you know, with the idea that people want to listen to them on the devices they want to listen to them on. So I give them credit. I think the Steelers and the Pirates, in regards to that, they've become a bit money-hungry, big shocker there, and don't allow us to stream those games.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sure a lot of people were in the same boat as this gentleman and wondering why, so I'm glad you explained that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I appreciate the explanation.
Well, thank you for listening to us when you can. We appreciate it.
Well, I listen every day, and I enjoy, as much as I enjoy listening to Dave and Bob and Jay, I enjoy listening to you two. You two are going to do very well in this business.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Have a good day.
You have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice to hear from him. But that is a good... I'm glad you did explain that, because it gets hairy, you know, streaming.
There's a bunch of digital rights fees. Major League Baseball is really big on it. You know, you have to go through their Major League Baseball digital media, and they are very stringent on how you give away things, how you promote them digitally. And they have, because we go to a Pirates Radio Network conference every year. And one thing the director of broadcasting always tells us is, he's like, don't do this. He's like, they've got interns, they've got employees whose sole responsibility is to make sure people aren't skirting the system. So if you wanted to hear the games online, it costs you, like, I'm ballparking here, about $10 a month or something like that, which to me is, I understand. I understand the idea of wanting to go out there and increase the money that you get and different things like that. But to me, you're knocking off a completely different audience. You want to listen to the Steelers game on your WISR app. Why that is not possible is beyond me. I've always had a problem with that. The same thing with Major League Baseball. Again, these people will make money hands over fist. And the fact that they can't allow affiliate stations and even their flagship stations cannot stream pirate games.
That is interesting. Just Major League Baseball games where we are as a world
That's
now
what I mean.
And how, I mean, everything, which is why we've changed a lot of our operations, because people want things wherever they are. They want to be able to turn on the radio and listen. They want to be able to listen online. They want to be able to listen on their smartphone. They want to be able to listen to the morning news maybe at noon, because that's their morning. They work shit. You know, everything is catered to the consumer now, so they're going to have to, you know, get with it.
And the NHL has always done a really nice job of wanting to connect to fan bases, and that seems to be their primary goal. They're obviously, when you look at the revenue dollars, are not anywhere close to the NBA. I mean, I shouldn't say anywhere close. I mean, they still make a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But they're nowhere close to the NFL. They're maybe marginally behind Major League Baseball and the NBA. However, they're like, we want our audiences to be able to consume what they want to listen to. We want people to listen to Pittsburgh Penguin games, so we're going to allow them an opportunity to do that. To me, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Back to the phone lines. We are in open talk. It's your turn, WISR, 680 AM. We'll go to our next caller. Hello, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi, this gentleman here is blind. He could turn the TV on and listen to it and get the Steelers and the other teams. Whether he has a wife that is not blind, she could tell him what's going on, things like that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he could do that. I think he wants to listen on his phone, and he, you know, hopefully someday he'll be able to. To do that.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Right. Thank you for calling. I know before we wrap up time, we got to get to our guests, but we did take a call before the show started about a lost cat. If you've seen it, this cat apparently lives on Hanson Avenue near Pillow Street, right in Butler near Lindora. Jack is looking for his cat. So if you find that cat, his number is 431-8772.
And to speak to, I think, why a blind person would want to listen to it on the radio, radio play-by-play announcers do a really nice job of painting the picture for people who may not be able to visually see it. So sometimes if you watch a game on TV, the announcers, and they tell you this when you do the schooling for it, is you don't have to, you know, talk all about what's going on. People can see that. But
that's
on the radio,
point.
People can't see much. So your job as an announcer is to paint the picture. So
people
that
can't
could
see
be,
anything on the radio.
Correct.
Not
yeah,
just
so,
much.
So you have to paint the whole thing
for the
listener.
Yeah, that's a very good
listener,
point. Very good point.
Outside of that, we will shift gears. We will be talking Giving Tuesday and the United Way as we'll talk with new regional director Amy Franz. That's all coming up next right here on It's Your Turn, WISR 680 AM.
The hustle and bustle of the holiday season can be hectic. Luckily, Goin Postal is here to help as your one-stop shipping center. We ship via FedEx, UPS, and U.S. Postal Service, so you know you're getting the best rates among all three carriers, which helps you save time and money. Goin Postal also offers packaging services, stamps, boxes, even great stocking stuffers and greeting cards. Located on Shockey Lane behind Villa Grande, Goin Postal Butler is your holiday shipping headquarters that does it all. Visit us online at goinpostalbutler.com.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals all can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information, or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
Welcome back to the It's Your Turn program, listeners. Tyler Friel, Kayla Moles, and in for Dave Malarkey on this Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Shifting gears from open talk now as we will talk United Way and Giving Tuesday and all things nonprofit and charity-wise here for the next half hour as we bring in the new regional director of the Butler office, Amy Franz. Amy, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Amy, we wanted to have you in, first of all, because you're sort of new to the office. I think it's been 9 weeks or so.
About that, yes.
Talk about what shifted in the United Way. And this you might have to be going back a little bit. I'm not sure when that shift happened, but it used to be called the United Way of Butler County.
Right.
Is that the current title now?
We are now known as the United Way of Southwestern Pennsylvania. We are serving Allegheny, Butler, Westmoreland, and Fayette counties.
Okay.
And Southern Armstrong.
Okay.
So it's a regionalized concept that began with talks about this time a year ago and was finalized by a board vote in April of this year.
Okay. So still relatively new. Do you have a presence here in Butler, a physical office?
Definitely. We have an office on West Jefferson Street. It's myself and two full-time employees, and then we have a part-time employee who helps with our employment and volunteer initiatives.
Okay.
We have a local operating board, and it is 22 members, and they are all from Butler County, either residents or business owners here, helping to make the local decisions and put the funding where it needs to be within the county.
Okay, so there's still very much a local footprint, because I know
definitely. People
see the Southwestern, and
right. They
get nervous.
Absolutely, and that was important for us to make sure the people understood. When we did the regionalization, we can have some economies of scale, and we can have some best practices. The county lines and the identity is single United Ways sometimes makes it look like we can't do what our neighbors are doing, but somehow you remove that, and then programs transfer across county lines, mm-hmm. and everybody benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you if you find that to be a difficult hurdle while working for the United Way, because sometimes people will hear a national name and they may not resonate that those dollars go local. So how do you guys try to send that message to some of the people in the public and then send the message that you do have many services to offer to residents of Butler County?
Well, it is something that we want to make sure everybody understands. We haven't gone anywhere. We keep a local website. We have the local offices here, actually about 2 minutes here from the station.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to go to our website, you can see all of the programs that we're funding locally. And they are generally around the Butler City area. We've been able to distribute $250,000 to 14 programs. That is for this year and next, provided that the programs are meeting the expectations that they had outlined when they requested the funding. So I think to do things like this, come on the local radio, mm-hmm. make sure that I'm speaking at Rotary clubs, being part of the community, myself and the staff and the board members, I think helps to make sure that people understand that we haven't really gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important. You just said programs meeting expectations, that you follow up on that.
Exactly.
It's not like you're just, you know, writing a check saying, here you go, you know, good luck. You're talking with these organizations, making sure they're doing what they say they will do.
We are. We have an impact committee. And again, it's local volunteers that are looking at the proposals that people are submitting, actually evaluating the programs, going out and kicking the tires, if you will,
mm-hmm.
checking financials, visiting program sites, just to make sure the dollars are being spent as they were requested, and that is a current need that the United Way feels that they can help the community
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm. Amy, how did you get here? How did you end up in Butler, and are you liking it so far?
I love it in Butler. I have been in Butler for the past year and a half with another venture, but my background is nonprofit management. I actually have been in the nonprofit field for almost 30 years.
Oh, wow.
I had a development job at the Boy Scouts, so that was where I was trained. I was the beneficiary of United Way funding as a United Way funded partner, and somewhere along the line understood the United Way's mission very early on. And now at this point in my career, I'm happy to be working with them. And as I said to somebody a few days ago, the United Way is almost a Yelp, if you will. Somebody might cringe when I say that. But what I mean by that is if you are funding the United Way, you know that it's already vetted the programs that it is funding. So they've done the research for you. They've done the shopping around and know that what you're giving to is very important and will be used very wisely.
I think that's a good point because, I mean, we're going to get to Giving Tuesday, which is initially why we wanted to have Amy in, but there are so many, especially this time of year, so many opportunities to give to. Most of them are good things. Some are not. And, you know, you have to be careful about where you're giving your money, making sure it's getting used in the way that you are told it's being used. United Way has already done that work for the donor.
We have, and I'm proud to say that we have a 4-star rating with Charity Navigator, which is a very well-known tool to go out and investigate charities. This 4-star rating is, we've been doing this in consecutive years, so it's telling that donor that, yes, we're doing the wise thing with your money, and you can feel good knowing that it will go mm-hmm. with the maximum amount of money going to the recipients of mm-hmm. the program, mm-hmm. and it's not all caught up in overhead or things that don't directly impact. Mm-hmm.
Before we get to Giving Tuesday, how have things gone this year in Butler County in terms of fundraising? You know, are numbers down? Are they where they should be? I know you always hope for more so you can impact more.
Definitely. We set an objective of increasing our campaign by 10% this year. We do workplace campaigning where we have several large employers that are asking their employees to donate, and mm-hmm. we're doing a community campaign as well. We have some foundations that support our work, and we're always looking for more donors. So as far as things go, comparing year over year, we're slightly behind. I think there were some employment issues that helped to make that happen, mm-hmm. but we're reconnecting with some people that haven't heard from us in several years, and hopefully by reengaging them, we'll be able to get to our goal this year.
So now with the new Southwestern PA overarching name for it, do you have access to those funds, or is it still primarily Butler County fundraiser and Butler County initiative?
We have a separate operating budget here for the okay. county. We have a separate amount of dollars that we will raise and allocate to agencies and programs here in the county. Where the benefit from the overarching organization happens is where we share employers. And where we share initiatives, there's a program, for example, that Allegheny County has launched called Coaching Boys into Men, which is teaching athletes how to be responsible men and how to treat women and the whole dating scene and relationships. So we might not have had the capacity to bring that to Butler County in the past, but because we are now one, that is something we can look at bringing here to the county, mm-hmm. as are other programs that connect veterans, that connect seniors. And there's actually an initiative called 100,000 Books that PNC was able to bring in to Butler County. And there were many school students that benefited from those literacy kits.
Seems like it's a positive.
I think it is. I think that I describe it as some people expected it to happen. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't very excited about it, and then yet another third of the people don't even know it happened. So as long as we're giving the right message to the right people and bringing people along, and then making sure that they understand we have kept our promises and we're doing what we said we would do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there areas of concern or needs that you see in Butler that, you know, now being on the job for a little bit, saying I'd really like to help in these different areas?
I'd really like to be able to have more money to give to children and to teens and to help educate people about a lot of things. I think employment is very important. I don't know that our youth are understanding exactly what to do now and how that affects their future employment. I know many have expressed concern with the opioid problems here and what role the United Way may play mm-hmm. in that. And I think that remains to be seen. But those are some of the things that I've seen. I also see that we have a lot of funding concentrated here in the center of the county, but we could be able to reach all corners of the county, and that requires more funding and more partners. Mm-hmm. So that would be one of my goals for the coming year.
I think that's a good point because I know, you know, as you said, you're physical offices here in the city. It's been that way for as long as I can remember, even, you know, before the Southwestern Pennsylvania change. But we have a big county. We have,
yes.
you know, we have a huge portion of northern Butler County, obviously, and up into those corners where people, I'm sure, could really benefit from funding, but you need more of it to reach them.
Exactly. And I think we need to do a little bit of an assessment about what mm-hmm. needs to happen in those. I'm delighted that we'll have two interns from Slippery Rock University this spring. And I think they can bring the perspective of the college campus life.
Sure.
And we also want to engage more teen volunteers. We have a strong volunteerism program here with our volunteer employment coordinator and our volunteer coordinator, but there's definitely a teen component missing. So if we can train them up, I think that will benefit us for years to come.
Mm-hmm. We're laughing a little bit earlier because today's Giving Tuesday. Not about that, but just that we've labeled everything these days now.
My goodness,
we had Black
yes.
Friday. We had Small right. Business Saturday, which are all good things. I believe it's been 7 or 8 years since Giving Tuesday. It might have been even longer than that. Where it really is a movement, and I know it started globally. Talk about how this impacts you and what you're hoping for on this day. Do you follow into Giving Tuesday, or is it the Give Pittsburgh thing? I was confused about how that has all worked together.
Well, it's both.
Okay.
So Giving Tuesday, as you said, is more of a global initiative. I believe there are over 58,000 organizations
oh, wow.
participating.
Okay.
So you use the hashtag Giving Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, those are taking you back to those organizations' websites and allowing you to explore and to make a gift online. The Give Big Pittsburgh initiative is done with the Pittsburgh Foundation and Pittsburgh Magazine, and they've put a prize pool together today, and we've actually been notified that the Endowment for Butler County will pay all the fees for the contributions coming to the Butler United Way. So those dollars come to us fee-free, which is a big savings for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing both, and what's great about Give Big Pittsburgh is that will run through the end of the year as well.
Okay.
That people can go and look there and make a contribution. Sometimes if you're in a tax situation at the end of the year and you can say, do I pay next year's contributions with this year's money?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. So to give people that vehicle, and then if there are any other things that might be needed for this season, toy drives, for example, food mm-hmm. drives, it gives you an idea of not only the financial ways you can help, but whether it's through donations of your time or donation of material goods.
Okay. So today is a good day if you've been – I think a lot of people, you know, they buy their gifts and then they assess their tax situation at the end of the year. You know,
right.
We're about to close out the books, and if you are in a position to donate financially, it's a good day to do it, and really through the end of the year too.
It is good, and as you set aside that budget for giving
mm-hmm.
and that person that you may not know what to get or has truly everything to make a gift in their honor – I think says a lot.
I like that. I do. Because sometimes you know, you want to do something for someone,
right.
whether it's a mother-in-law or, you know, whatever, and you know that they don't want anything
exactly.
or they don't need anything, but you still want to make that effort. That's a great way to do that.
It's very helpful, and I think it's very meaningful because it shows actually that you know them quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Because
sure.
if you're choosing a charity that's important to them, then it's a very thoughtful gift.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way if people are listening to us today and say, yeah, I do want to donate to the United Way, or I know there's a number of local organizations, Butler County Symphony comes to mind. I mean, there's just a ton. Where should people go to make their donations today?
Well, you can go to hashtag Giving Tuesday, and that will, you can do a search, and that will list anybody that's connected to the initiative and
mm-hmm.
then links you back to their website.
Okay.
You can do something similar with Give Big Pittsburgh, which is more regionally and Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania based, or you could simply go to the organization's website. Most organizations and charities right now have an online giving capability, or at the very least an address where you could
mm-hmm.
mail a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have rolling donations? Can people just make donations throughout the year?
Yes.
She's never going to say no.
365 days. We can even make that easier and less painless on the contributor, where you can set that up on our website. We could actually do recurring payments, whether it's an ACH draft or whether it's a credit card charge.
Okay. So you can make it real easy for people, which is nice because we were talking about convenience earlier in the show
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, make it nice and easy. I know you're doing something, I believe, this evening through Texas Roadhouse. If people are sick
yes.
of eating turkey and you want to get rid of all those leftovers, if you eat at the Roadhouse tonight from 4 to 8,
yes.
I believe 10% of sales will go to the United Way.
Yes, they will. So please, if you're going out to eat, make that your choice.
Okay.
And know that part of your meal will be coming back to us in the form of a donation from Texas Roadhouse.
Very generous from them. I know they're a good community partner.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
they have
great
steaks.
Yeah, that
yes.
too. So
yes.
it's, I call these things great reasons to donate.
Like, right,
oh,
exactly.
go have a delicious meal, and that will be my contribution. I also want to talk about your upcoming Christmas toy drive. What's involved there?
Yes, the toy drive, we have already collected $1,400
wow.
so that we can go out and buy toys for Children and Youth Services, and we'll deliver them the week after next. So the office is a site for dropping off toys. We ask for any unwrapped toys, all ranges of ages. Mm-hmm. I know that there's an interest in items for babies and then teenagers. Even body wash gift sets mm-hmm. are important gifts for teenagers. So we will gather all of those and take them. I believe we're going to go on the 13th of December to deliver them so that they'll be there in time.
Mm-hmm.
So we are able to accept toys for that purpose, or we would accept a monetary contribution and then buy the toys for you.
Okay.
We can do that. We'll work with them to find out what they're most looking for.
I know the teens, that's always a group that's hard. Or not that they get overlooked, but, you know, when you initially think of toys, you think of kids, you know, right. younger kids. But right. I know we interviewed a couple people. They said, we really need, like, curling irons for teen girls.
Yes.
Or makeup sets or something like that. You don't want to overlook that segment of the kids.
Yes.
We're talking with Amy Fran. She's the Butler Region Director of the United Way of Southwestern PA. Why did you get into nonprofit work?
She's probably like, how much time do you have?
You know, I'm not sure I intended to go into nonprofit world. I think I got hooked and it stuck because I could see the difference that we were making. I could see that people were committed to making it happen. And at the end, it's a really good return on your investment, and you're putting a pretty good product out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I could have seen myself selling copiers or getting into something like that. You know, seeing a child's face when they've learned a new skill, seeing a parent being able to spend time with their child, watching a family thrive because you've been able to make child care affordable for them so mm-hmm. they can go and work or continue their education. There's just so many examples of what you've done in a day and how you've affected people that it's contagious. I think you can really get hooked on it.
Do you find that a lot of board members or even volunteers come to you for the same reason that once they get stuck and involved in it, they're like, it's difficult to leave?
I think so. I think there's a lot of psychic income when you volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have been exposed to an organization based on family circumstances that you may gravitate toward that, mm-hmm. but somebody just wants to do good can come to the United Way. They can look at several different programs and either have sort of an a la carte look at things, or if they have something that they want to do specifically, mm-hmm. we can point them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So you work with a number of different agencies. Could you list just even some examples of maybe some other nonprofits that you work with that kind of you're taking the money in and then you're overseeing who it's going to?
So we have an impact camp committee that is giving money out in the county. We have 14 initiatives that we're funding for the next 2 years, and they are programs like Life Steps, where we are funding adult day health services, mm-hmm. Glade Run Lutheran Services, we fund their Adventures Camp program. We're doing after-school tutoring, and that's in partnership with XTO Energy at several schools in Butler County. There's the Butler Emergency Relief Initiative, mm-hmm. known as BERRY, which was formed several years ago after the hurricanes, mm-hmm. where we help to make sure people that are in real-time need, meaning they might have a shutoff notice or their water heater is blown up, that we'll be able to help them immediately. We have care delivery services. We're offering child care scholarships. We're actually eligible for EITC contributions through the pre-K scholarship program. And we also have initiatives that are about inclusive child care. And even we have a partnership with FamilyWise, which helps families find affordable prescriptions and even look for manufacturers' coupons so that they can have cost savings when filling their prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. It's just really across the board. I mean, if you listen to her list, it starts, you know, from child care services the whole way up to Life Steps, which sometimes is, you know, at the end of someone's life or an older person. You really span so many areas where people need help.
We do. It's a multi-generational mm-hmm, approach, which mm-hmm. I think is very good for the county because we have all age ranges here,
yeah.
and we can help everybody.
We're talking with Amy Fran. She is the Butler Region Director, United Way of Southwestern PA. So how long have you been on the job now?
9 weeks.
9 weeks.
Yes.
How's it been?
It's been very...
Is there a big difference between what you were doing before with the Boy Scouts to what you're doing now?
Well, there is. I think part of it is scale. And I focused largely on development when I was in the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. And this is everything, board management and knowing the agencies and the programs. Everyone's been very gracious, opening their knowledge to me, inviting me places, and been very, very welcoming. So I appreciate that. And I think I know where we're headed. I think that we've got a very engaged board who've mm-hmm. been very helpful, a truly dedicated staff that give me a lot of information, and it's invaluable because mm-hmm. sometimes you can't just open up a file folder and find out about things. Mm-hmm. You have to have the people there to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. So there's a great spirit here in the county. I think there's a willingness to help. And there's certainly a lot of areas where we can expand.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear you say you like Butler and that it does have a great spirit. We've heard that so many times, especially mm-hmm. on this show, where people say, you know, people are generous here. People want to help. Yes. There's a need, you know, but there are people that are willing to, you know, put in the time.
There are a lot of roots here. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of families that go back multiple generations. There's typically a story. And there's a connection that somebody's grandmother knew their mm-hmm. grandfather. And there's this regionalization thing, too, that's not just Pittsburgh. People give directions for things that aren't here anymore.
Correct.
So that part I felt very much at home. And, you know, you can't help but stop at a farmer's market or mm-hmm. the meat market.
Yeah.
Or a bakery. So it may not be good for my health that I'm here in Butler, but I find it very, very welcoming and a great place to be.
We don't have a wide range of health options. We do, but there's a lot of people in Butler who appreciate the fries on the salad, like, if you're like me.
No, present company included.
Yeah. Amy, can you give us the United Way's website, too, just in case people would like to donate today, or even just either hear more information about what you do in case they need, you know, someday be a recipient, or if they want to volunteer their time? I think a lot of people, I don't know if Tyler does this or not, we always talk about end-of-year stuff. I think some people think, okay, well, I want to, you know, I'm going to volunteer more next year. I want to do this. Maybe people are listening and, you know, already thinking of 2019.
Right. And that's good. And this is one of these things where we're trying to wrap things up and mm-hmm. then we eat for 4 weeks and then we're told what we're going to do for the next 12 months
yeah, exactly.
to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested and want to learn more about us, you can visit butlerunitedway.org. And we are available there with the phone number as well. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a volunteer coordinator who can set people up to live up to their New Year's resolutions.
Okay, good. And whether, like you said earlier, even if you only have a couple hours a week or you have much more, I think, you know, it can vary.
It can vary, yes, because some people do get intimidated thinking that we want them there for 3 hours a week for 52 weeks
yeah.
a year. There are some projects that can be done in 90 minutes once a quarter, mm-hmm. 3 hours every other week. I think we can make an opportunity for you to fit your needs. And in a case where you might need clearances, we have the resources to help you get those as well.
Okay.
I got a question just talking to almost nonprofits in general, because there are, and Kayla had mentioned it earlier, there are a lot of small nonprofits or, you know, give to this, donate to that, you know, fundraiser for this. Is it difficult for you guys, and I think I talked about this earlier, but to get monetary donations from people because you are the United Way? I think there's, you know, so many different things that people can donate to now. Is that a big challenge for you, especially monetarily?
I don't see it as a challenge.
Okay.
And here's why. The United Way can accept money for the United Way programs that it funds that, as I had mentioned, people apply for and, mm-hmm. and they're vetted. But there's also a vehicle through the United Way that you can donor designate to a charity of your choice.
Okay.
So that you could pass those dollars on to an organization mm-hmm. that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all charities right now compete for the same dollar, mm-hmm. and it's how you differentiate yourself. Part of it's education. Part of it is what is important to you. And we just all need to do what we said we're going to do and be accountable for the dollars and show the impact in the community.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is such an impact. I think United Way is one of those organizations that if it went away, people, you know, it would be devastating because you do so much. And I think a lot of people just realize it's just there. It's just
yeah.
happening. You know, Life Steps is just there and all these other organizations. But, you know, there's funding that needs to back that. And your organization is providing it.
And there's a resource here that's actually in the entire state. It's called 211, which is a phone number. You simply dial 211 and can be connected to Health and Human Service resources. Mm-hmm. And what's nice is that they're tracked by zip codes, so you're getting referrals to your own community so that they can help you. We have a veteran on that 211 call center staff dealing with veterans issues. Mm-hmm. We actually have someone who's bilingual. So if you are speaking Spanish and you're not sure how to communicate your needs, you can be put through to her on the helpline. So it's really important. It's a resource that not many people are aware of. In fact, there's a transportation study happening right now here in the county. I think some of my coworkers were here earlier, and we're just trying to figure out what transportation needs people have in the county and if we can help them with those.
I love the 211 service, and we talk about that a lot on this show and our other stations, just because it's so overarching that somebody can call with, you know, a multitude of needs and get help. We, you know, just coming off the power outages we had a couple weeks ago, we took so many calls where people didn't necessarily want to call 911, but they had some sort of an emergency. And we kept telling them, just call 211, call 211, and, you know, they should be able to help you.
Right. And they're able to track callers, know if you've called before, understand and have a sense of whether or not you need more than what you're actually calling in for. So they're very good at asking you questions about, is there anything else you need today?
So they're trained.
They really are. Mm-hmm. And they can say, for example, one person I heard at the call, their son's furnace broke. So she was able to give a referral. And then she also said, well, would you like food resources in your area? So they were able to do that. And you don't have to have a pen and paper. They can text the information to you. It can be emailed. And they're there 24/7. There's always somebody on the other end of that line.
That's an important resource.
Absolutely.
Amy Franz, thank you so much for coming in with us today. You're welcome back anytime, and we hope to see you in months to come.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I look forward to it. Thank
you. I'm sure she'll be out and about in the community.
Yes, she will.
I have a feeling, yes.
Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll talk with business expert Lynn LeGram as we'll talk about side hustles, actually, how to bring in some of that extra cash or that second business that you're trying to run. So that's all coming up right after this on It's Your Turn to WISR 680 AM. Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Welcome back, listeners, to It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 AM. Kayla Molzan in for Dave Malarkey this afternoon. Happy to be with you and excited to talk about something I think we all can relate to, jobs, working. A lot of us have them. A lot of us need them. And a lot of us have more than one. And I think that's where we're going to go with this conversation. We have Lynn LeGram on the phone with us. She's a small business expert with The Hartford. Lynn, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk about a side hustle, which I think some of our listeners are like, what does that mean? It means a second job. It's kind of a cute way of saying it. A lot of us, one quarter of Americans, own a side business. A lot of them started to earn extra cash. This is interesting. Is this something that's recently new to the realm of all of us in America? Or, I mean, a lot of people have had to work multiple jobs in the past to make things work, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So The Hartford recently conducted a study that found 25% of Americans now own a side business. That's 57 million people. And as you said, we define that as a business that's not their primary source of income. And the majority of the side business owners we surveyed said they were looking to make extra income. 61% said the primary reason for starting that side business was for financial reasons, as opposed to just a small percent who said they were pursuing a passion. And I think today it's easier than ever for side business owners to start and build a business with the influx of technology, easier than ever to reach customers. So certainly a growing trend.
I think it is easier than ever because, like you said, technology, social media is free in many cases. So say you want to start something up,
right.
You can create a Facebook page. You can be on Instagram. You don't necessarily need to pay anything to do that. Do you agree?
Absolutely. We saw a wide representation of a lot of different types of side businesses through the survey. There were side business owners that were in retail, side business owners that were in technology, services. Think about things we use and need every day, a dog walker, a tax preparer. So, again, easier than ever, and a lot of different types of side businesses that folks can start.
I know you say that people are doing this, having their main job and then doing something on the side to make extra money. That's the number one reason. But do you think they're at least tapping into something that they like to do? You know, even if it's not something that is 100% a passion project, but are they interested in it, or are they just doing this simply for financial reasons?
Certainly, I think it's reasonable to assume that a lot of business owners either started with an interest or a skill. We also see small business owners that identify a need in the market and are solving a pain point for others. So a lot of different motivations for starting a side business, but then the key benefit for them we found through the survey was that they were doing it for financial reasons ultimately.
What are some of the barriers in turning a side business into a primary income source? Maybe they start doing this, they like it, they say, okay, I'm starting to make some money. Maybe someday I'll be able to do this solely and quit my full-time job.
Right. Well, we found through the survey that only 27% of side business owners said they were either somewhat or highly likely that their side business could ultimately become their full-time job or their primary source of income. And it's interesting, similar to why they said they started the business, which was for financial reasons, mm-hmm. that was also the biggest barrier to taking it full-time. Many side business owners said they didn't think that they could make a living with their side business or that they could afford to give up the income or the benefits associated with their full-time job. 61% of side business owners also have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you're talking, you might be making money, but benefits, insurance costs, health insurance, all that kind of stuff. Do you have any tips for people that would like to make that a full-time job but are facing some of those barriers you just talked about?
Well, despite being in it for the additional income, it was interesting we found that only 12% of the side business owners we surveyed were protecting their business through insurance. So many side business owners believed either that they didn't need insurance or that their business was too small or that they were protected in some way by their current homeowner's policy or auto policy. And so while many of them didn't think they needed insurance, really no business is too small to consider it. Any business that provides a product or a service or advice or who handles customer data or inventory could experience some type of unexpected general liability claim. And then without that coverage, without insurance coverage, a side business owner could have to pay the cost of those claims with their own business or personal assets. In some cases, the cost could outweigh the income that they're making.
Mm. So you're saying no business is too small. So even if you are, you know, somebody that sells cupcakes or cakes on the weekend and you're selling these out, maybe you've got a good number of customers, but something that small, like you're just running it out of your kitchen, you would still suggest looking into insurance?
Yeah, that's a great example. So consider a baker who is selling cupcakes on the weekend at a local farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
If someone became ill or, you know, bit into the cupcake and broke a tooth,
mm-hmm.
that side business owner could be held responsible for the medical or dental bills for that customer. So these situations, these types of general liability claims can occur in very, very common everyday situations. The most common ones we see are cases where your business in some way caused physical injury to another person, property damage to someone else's property. Maybe in the advertising space, a competitor makes a claim that your advertising looks too similar
mm-hmm.
and is infringing on their business. very common situations. And again, without coverage, a side business owner could find themselves responsible for those costs. Again, sometimes outweighing the income that they're making.
Yeah, and even more so, I'm sure they, you know, it could, depending on the situation, I mean, that could very hit them very hard financially all across the board.
That's right. And insurance really isn't as expensive as people may think. A basic business owner's policy can cost as little as $250 a year.
That was my next question. I think a lot of people, I think we got their attention, like, okay, I need to look into this, but can I afford it? But, I mean, that's, I would assume that's a pretty affordable number, $250 a year.
That's right, $250, as little as $250 a year. So we would absolutely encourage small business owners to learn a little bit more about small business insurance and whether that might be a fit for their business.
Where should people go? Is there any resources online that they can look into or to get some more information on this?
Absolutely. We would suggest that listeners can find more information at thehartford.com/smallbusiness. They can learn a little bit more about small business insurance there. There's also other resources on thehartford.com's website, such as a really comprehensive resource for small businesses at any stage of their business life cycle called Our Business Owner's Playbook. Mm-hmm. And listeners could also consider reaching out to a local independent agent to learn more about whether insurance protection is right for them.
I think it's important information. We're all working hard, and a lot of us are, you know, entrepreneurs on the side, and you would hate to see all of that hard work, you know, all for naught.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Talking with Lynn LeGram, small business expert working with The Hartford. Thanks so much for all your tips this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Did you know that Pennsylvania leads the nation in auto collisions with deer? Not surprising if you live in Butler County. It's obvious that your car and the deer are damaged, but what about you? An impact of only 8 miles per hour is enough to cause soft tissue damage and mild whiplash. If this happens to you, visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler, for assessment and treatment of acute and chronic whiplash. Learn more online at applewoodchiro.com.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Welcome back to the It's Your Turn program. Listeners, Tyler Friel and Kayla Molzan in for the vacationing Dave Malarkey. Dave will be back on a Thursday, so we'll be doing the show tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking with Butler Downtown, as we mentioned earlier in this particular program. And then also we'll be talking with a local author who just wrote a book about a fictional story about the war. And he was actually a former radio DJ for the Army. So looking forward to talking to him. Richard Riley will join us on the program tomorrow as well. We'll have some other guests for you lined up, and that will all be on the midweek edition of It's Your Turn. I guess It's Your Turn
it
airs
midday.
In the midday as well. So how about that? So we had some wild weather this morning. I felt bad because as the person that announces the weather on the air, I am not a certified meteorologist. I want to make sure I get I want to make sure I get that out in the open.
I'm sure a lot of listeners were
like,
concerned
wow,
about that.
Tyler, you sound like a meteorologist. Are you? No, I'm not a certified meteorologist, because when I woke up this morning, I was stunned to learn that there was a significant amount of white snow, like it would be a different color, that there was a significant amount of snow that had fell into the yard. I was shocked, actually, and I wished I had a remote starter for my vehicle.
Yeah, right. I mean, we didn't get that much. It was less than an inch, but it was just enough to cause problems, and we did have a lot of problems.
It was less than an inch? All right, maybe
by my measurements, maybe up in some parts, maybe it was different.
I didn't see any grass this morning. No grass.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I didn't see any grass. Yeah. I thought that would be. I always operate, if I don't see any grass, there's an inch. I guess I'm wrong. Huh?
Okay. Well, I bet it was
again,
about an inch.
No,
I bet it was about
no meteorologist here.
It did get really icy though, and
it did.
It was. interesting. It kind of came through in waves and got worse at some points during the morning rush. And we took a lot of calls this morning for Bonnybrook Road. Must have been just a sheet of ice.
That's a dangerous road, especially when you're going
right
down to 422.
Yeah, they said people were just all over the roads. I was surprised, sort of, that there wasn't any school delays, but the school districts were coming off a long weekend.
That's, yeah.
And some very extended because it ran into the power outages.
Yep.
So I think superintendents were really, you know, cautious about calling a delay. But we are expecting another inch or so tonight.
The National Weather Service is saying another inch or so tonight.
Yeah, and then we'll see what we get.
And then they're expecting that to roll into Wednesday, too, for another inch or two. So, I mean, we could be dealing with some travel conditions tomorrow morning as well that aren't all too pretty.
I know. And we talk, how many times have, I mean, we've had PennDOT on the show already this year. We talk to AAA all the time. Still, I think people aren't 100% ready.
No.
Myself included. I don't have my ice scraper in my car.
Really?
I do not, and I needed it this morning, running to some meetings, and I didn't have it. So, I mean, I feel really dumb about that because I've been telling people to get ready. But, you know, if you're somebody that gets winter tires, it's probably time. It's definitely time to keep your scraper in your vehicle.
Yeah, I would say.
It's just kind of, it's that time of year.
Do you have the luxury of pulling your car into a garage?
I do have a garage, and I have said that's one thing I do not take for granted.
Yeah.
I do not, because there was a time when I didn't, and then when I got one, it is a beautiful thing. A garage is a beautiful thing.
We have a garage.
It's a luxury.
I don't park there. There's no room for it. It's just a clutter garage.
I love those types of people that you have garages,
but
they're filled with things beside your vehicle.
Oh, junk.
You got to clean that out.
Yeah. I know.
My parents are the same way, but it's just like,
there's nothing worse.
You have one.
There's nothing worse than doing that 5 a.m. window scrape. I mean, that is the absolute worst because it is freezing. It is cold.
It's early.
I didn't have gloves on this morning.
Ugh.
And that thing, the ice is just flying everywhere. Oh, I was so ill prepared. I didn't even wear my big winter jacket.
Jeez.
I wore my track jacket.
Yeah, it's time for something warmer.
Yeah, I suppose. I did wear my winter boots, though. I got a nice pair of winter boots. I really did. I went all out. So when we did, if listeners remember, we did the Veterans Day. We were up there.
Yes.
Early in the morning.
Yes.
7 a.m.
Right
getting people
from the courthouse.
Yeah, right across from the courthouse, getting people ready for Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pair of boots that I thought would be sufficient enough.
Mm-hmm.
I had a jacket on that I thought would be sufficient enough. Did not have gloves on. So I froze by the time 10 a.m. And it wasn't even all that cold, but at 10 a.m. I could not feel my feet.
Mm.
And I said, no more.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going out. I'm buying a pair of Western PA boots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying a jacket that I will sweat in at like 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up in Ann Arbor 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was very cold, and I was very warm.
And you were warm.
I was very proud of my decision.
Mm.
I got Gore-Tex laced boots.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that, but apparently that's
a
key to success. Yeah,
huh. That'll be good. I know a lot of people.
You're looking at me like I'm insane right
no,
now.
No, I mean you need warm. I'm all about being warm, and we have a Steeler game coming up on Sunday. If people are going, they changed that game to an 8:20
Steeler.
Game.
Are you going?
Yeah. Yes, I guess so. I was under the impression it was supposed to be a 1 p.m. until a couple of weeks ago, and now it's an 8:20. But people are like, why are you talking Steelers? Because it's going to be cold, and people really know how to dress for those games.
No.
You have to, really.
And I asked the woman who was selling me the boots, I said, are these Steeler game acceptable?
Did you really?
She said, yeah. She said, these will keep you warm during the Steeler game. So I'm like, all right, that's great.
That's a good way to gauge it.
And I said the same thing about my jacket. I said, is this Steeler game worthy? They're like, yeah, you'll be fine. Because I was going to Michigan, which is actually probably a little bit worse than
Pittsburgh. Sure.
Now, I'm going back and forth as well on going to the Steeler game. Obviously, you'll be in a tougher position because you have to get up very, very early.
Yeah.
So you'd probably be looking at, 2 hours of sleep that night?
Yeah, I think it's worth it, though.
I enjoy going to...
Should be a good game.
Well, we had talked about this before here, and we'll set up our next interview for a little bit. But I'm not as big on going to Steeler games as I maybe was 3 years
ago. Yeah, we've talked about that on the show.
I know. I just don't find it to be all that enjoyable, especially a Sunday night football game, because if you're sitting at home, you realize how many commercial breaks they take. And then whenever you go down to the game, there's no action going on. And you're just sitting there and you're waiting for something to happen. And it doesn't necessarily happen. But I'm thinking about going as well. So I'll let you know
if I go. I'll see you there.
Yeah. But anyways, our next guest, would you like to set this up?
Sure. I was able to talk, this is actually a few days ago, to a neuroscientist His name's Dr. Howard Fillett, and he is doing something really remarkable. Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation, that's who he works for, and he's actually discussing progress in the prevention and treatment of Alzheimer's disease. And I know a lot of people throughout the state affected by Alzheimer's or have someone in their family that is. It's a big problem here in Butler County as well. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month, so I thought it was timely to talk with him. But you'll hear it in just a second. He talks about steps that you can do now to prevent, and then they've come so far in terms of treatment already. Obviously not a cure at this point, but it's really interesting to hear what he has to say in terms of treatment and where we could be going soon. But a lot of people will be interested in.
We'll have that interview for you on the other side after Pat reads off your daily lottery numbers. That's all coming up next on It's Your Turn, WISR 680 AM.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 02. The pick 3, 949. The pick 4, 1557. The pick 5, 77345. Ball for each of those is 7. The treasure hunt, 5, 8, 19, 20, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt, $10,000.
Welcome back, listeners, to It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 AM in Butler, Pennsylvania. Kayla Molzan in for Dave Malarkey today. And for this next segment, we're going to talk Alzheimer's. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month, and we have an opportunity to talk on the phone with neuroscientist Dr. Howard Fillett. Doctor, thanks so much for taking time out of your day today.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I know this is a topic that hits home for many people. Many personally affected have someone in their family, maybe themselves, who have struggled with Alzheimer's. A lot to talk about, so not really sure where to start, but let's start with current research goals. I know this is something that you have really looked at, spent a lot of time, and I understand you're excited about the research surrounding this awful disease.
Yeah, as a physician, a geriatrician, I've been taking care of people with Alzheimer's disease for about over 40 years now. My own dad had it, and as a neuroscientist, I've been doing research on it about as long. And back in the day, 40 years ago, we knew nothing about this illness, literally nothing. Research hadn't really started back in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have over 120 drugs in clinical trials. A lot of them are in phase 3, going into the final stages of approval by FDA. These drugs have shown that they can actually remove some of the amyloid plaque out of the brain that we think is related to the cause of cognitive impairment that happens in the illness. And one of the things that has really enabled these advances in drug therapies is the development of a brain scan called a PET scan that can actually tell with about 95% certainty if a person has Alzheimer's disease. And the brain scan was approved by the FDA for early diagnosis in 2012. So today I can send a patient for the brain scan and we can find out definitely whether or not the person has it. But more importantly, the brain scan's really accelerated the way we do clinical trials. So we can make the clinical trials better, and it's enabled prevention because it's shown by scanning people in their 30s and 40s and 50s that Alzheimer's disease really starts very much earlier in life than the onset of the symptoms, which occurs usually in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But what we really need in our field is sort of the equivalent of a cholesterol blood test, and that's what the Bill Gates relationship that we have through an effort called the Diagnostics Accelerator is doing. So we've committed over $30 million with Bill Gates to the development of a blood test for Alzheimer's. And I really think there's a great possibility that in about 3 years or so, maybe something like that, that we'll have a blood test for Alzheimer's. And that'll really change the landscape because doctors will be able to order the test and tell people whether they have the onset of early Alzheimer's in their brain or not. And that could make prevention much better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned a whole lot about prevention in Alzheimer's disease in the last 5 or 10 years. We know that through proper lifestyle management and managing people's diseases like diabetes and hypertension, that we can delay the onset of Alzheimer's and cognitive impairment in late life. So it's just a really, really exciting time right now in our space.
Right now, let's go back just for a second for the brain scan. Can it detect early onset or not really? Is that why you're really pushing for this, you know, simple, less expensive blood test?
It can detect early onset. and it's useful for that. But the problem with the brain scan is that it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it works out, Medicare actually did a study of almost 19,000 people who got the brain scan, and it showed that 50% of the time, doctors who diagnosed Alzheimer's got it wrong, and 50% of the time, doctors who thought that people didn't have Alzheimer's got it wrong. So, and almost 70% of the time, the use of the brain scan changed clinical management and treatment of patients. So, the Medicare study is showing that the brain scan really has an impact on clinical care, and we hope that that'll lead to better reimbursement for the brain scan, so it'll become more widely available. But right now, it's expensive. But either way, we'd rather not send people for a brain scan. We'd rather be able to do a blood test. It's
mm-hmm.
cheaper, it's faster, and it's obviously less invasive, and it takes less time and burden on older people to get it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think early detection is so important. I know my grandfather suffered and has since passed away, and he's suffered from Alzheimer's for 15 years. And as somebody in the family, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm in my 30s now. I would love to be able to know, you know, is it coming? Is there something I could be doing? And the fact that you say that there are lifestyle factors that somebody in their 30s or 40s could be doing now to affect their prognosis in the future, I mean, that's huge.
It is huge, and it's not just that we now have drugs that are being tested in people in their 30s and 40s to see if we can delay the progression of
mm-hmm.
the pathology as it's detected by the brain scan, but things like physical exercise actually protect your brain. So the more you exercise, the more you protect your brain. The mechanisms by which exercise improves your brain function is being studied now, and it looks like exercise releases hormones and what we call trophins that are protecting your brain from damage. It's preventing the shrinkage of the brain, the atrophy of the brain that occurs with aging, and it actually improves cognitive performance. So there's really good data that physical exercise is critically important to brain health, same way as diet has been shown to result in better brain health, the Mediterranean diet, for example. Being overweight, fat is actually an inflammatory structure in the body that leads to inflammation in the brain. Smoking is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Too much alcohol is a risk factor. And if, you know, social isolation, staying engaged, especially in late life, throughout your life, even education, the number of years of education that a person has actually is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease in late life. So people who actually graduate college have lower risk of getting Alzheimer's disease in late life than people who don't, and people who stay educated and involved in occupational and social activities protect themselves against brain. So having a brain-healthy lifestyle is actually going to work to delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease in late life. So people in their 30s and 40s can do a lot
mm-hmm.
to really keep their brain healthy.
I know that I think some people have heard their doctors maybe say, if you don't use it, you lose it, in terms of muscle, you know, just being able to get around and walk around. Do you think I'm kind of hearing you say that's the same thing for your brain, that you need to use it. You need to, you know, even if it's as simple as doing those crossword puzzles or reading the paper, you got to keep it active.
Well, the use it or lose it is absolutely true. So people who are socially isolated, who become depressed, they're definitely going to have things like brain atrophy, and they're going to be at greater risk for Alzheimer's disease. So there's no doubt about that. But I think that I'm not sure that doing crossword puzzles really gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
I think staying socially engaged, occupationally engaged, dealing with people and problems of life every day, these are the things that really keep our brain health, not necessarily sitting alone in a kitchen somewhere doing
mm-hmm.
Crossword puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's really going to do it. And there's some evidence now that some of the computerized games might have a modest or a small effect. But I still would advocate that rather than sitting in front of a computer and doing games, that people, especially older people, as we age, we become socially isolated. Our friends move or die, God forbid, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I think, you know, it's a real challenge to remain socially engaged and keep your mind active in old age, but that's really critical, not only throughout life, but especially in old age.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Howard Fillett. He is the founding executive director and chief science officer of the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation, ADDF. And they have partnered with Bill Gates and other philanthropists to create the Diagnostics Accelerator Initiative. And as you mentioned, Doctor, that's a $30 million commitment over the next 3 years. You know, a recent report by the CDC says that the U.S. burden of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias will double by the year 2060. I think that's a startling fact.
It's amazing. I mean, at age 75, somewhere around 20% of people will have Alzheimer's disease, and by age 80, it goes up to 30-40%. So this is not only a really common illness in old age, but it's the most expensive illness in our society today. Alzheimer's disease is starting to approach $300 billion a year in healthcare costs and caregiver costs, mm-hmm. and it's the most expensive disease in developed societies throughout the world, in Europe and Japan. If we don't develop drugs to prevent and treat Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's disease alone has been estimated to be in the next 10 years will bankrupt Medicare. So it's really critical that we develop drugs and prevention lifestyle things that can delay the onset well into old age. And the real goal is that people live their entire lives without losing their minds. You know, mm-hmm. this is really the goal of what we're doing, that we want to prevent cognitive impairment and senility or dementia in old age by finding ways to treat and prevent Alzheimer's disease. It's not only, like you said, my own dad had it. Mm-hmm. It's not only the way it impacts us as individuals, but the impact on societies throughout the world is just huge.
Absolutely. Doctor, thank you so much for your time today. I think it's encouraging to hear you so encouraged by what's going on and the fact that some big changes could be coming in just a matter of years.